Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the new year ahead. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. Have you ever had a desire to be a part of a team or an organization? Today, Pastor Brian reminds us that as believers, God has called us to a great work that relies on our connection to the past and the future. As believers, we're members of a team that participates in God's greatest calling. Turn with us in the book of Acts chapter 19 for a message titled, Did You Receive the Holy Spirit? Here's Pastor Brian.
Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? So they said, Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So Paul comes into the region of Ephesus, and he finds these disciples, these 12 men. And evidently, Paul sensed that although they were believers, there was something missing in their lives. Now, we don't know why he sensed that, or exactly, you know, what it was that caused him to think that perhaps they had not received the Spirit. But whatever the case, evidently there was something. The apostle sensed that there was something missing. And so he asked them this interesting question, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, it's an interesting question because on the one hand, you cannot truly be a Christian without receiving the Holy Spirit. And it seems to me that these men were truly Christians. They didn't totally understand all the implications of what Jesus had done, but yet they had received the gospel as far as they knew it. So they were believers. And as a believer, one of the facts of being a believer is that we receive the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Paul, in writing to the Romans, he said, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So it's a strange question in that sense. Of course, a believer is a person who has received the Spirit. But yet here, and also back with the Samaritans in the 8th chapter, you have believers who in some way have not received the Holy Spirit. But the issue here, I think, is not receiving the Spirit in the sense of regeneration or in the sense of being born again, but the issue here is really receiving the Spirit in the sense of a baptism with the Spirit. You see, we have to be clear about this. Everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the truest sense, in the biblical sense, has received the Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. We are born of the Spirit. So when you hear the gospel, you realize you're a sinner, you realize you need a Savior, you call upon Jesus to save you, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you. You receive the Spirit. But it's not the Spirit coming into a person that Paul's referring to here. It is the Spirit coming upon a person. And there's a difference between those two things. The Bible describes a threefold relationship between the Spirit and the believer. First of all, Jesus said, the Spirit is with you. As a matter of fact, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, or translated the Comforter in John chapter 14, is the Greek word parakletos, which means one who comes alongside to help. And so that's the picture. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. The Holy Spirit is actually the one who came alongside of us, convicting us of sin and leading us ultimately to that place of receiving Christ. Once we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. And Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit, he says, you know him, for he is with you and shall be in you. And that's what takes place. Jesus, after he had resurrected, met with his disciples. And it says there that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that at that point, they received the Holy Spirit in the sense of he took up residence within them. Now, there is one other relation of the Spirit to the believer, and that is the Holy Spirit coming upon, or what we might call the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, this experience is referred to by Jesus as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, some people today get a little bit bothered by the terminology. You see, there are, in the church today, there are, as on so many issues, there tend to be extremes, and very seldom do you find a balance. And in this area of the baptism of the Spirit, you tend to have extremes. On the one extreme, you have what you see amongst the charismatics. And their idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is primarily that that is something that you experience so you can speak in tongues, so you can be slain in the Spirit. You can go up in front of the church and people tap you on the head and you fall over backwards. In some cases, the Holy Spirit comes upon you so you can begin to laugh hysterically. And this is that one extreme. But then you have the pendulum swinging all the way over to the other side, where there is a denial of this idea of a baptism with the Spirit, a second work of the Spirit. There are those who say, no, you get everything the moment you believe in Jesus. There is nothing additional, and we reject the idea of a baptism. But Jesus, speaking to the apostles whom he had already breathed on and said, receive the Holy Spirit, tells them to wait in Jerusalem because they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it's definitely something that is in addition to the indwelling of the Spirit that we all have as believers. Now here's the question. What is the purpose of this baptism with the Spirit? Because that is what Paul is talking about in his dealings with these men in Ephesus. What he's sensing is not that they're not Christians, he's sensing that they're not baptized in the Spirit. So what is the purpose of the baptism of the Spirit? Well, first of all, the baptism of the Spirit is to give us power. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that very thing. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from heaven. He also said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall receive power. Now, the Greek word we translate power is the word dunamis. And that is the word that we derive our English word dynamic from, or even our word dynamite comes from that word dunamis. So Jesus says, you're going to receive a new dynamic. You're going to receive a power that is a dynamic power. There's going to be an evidence of a new dynamic that is going to occur in your life. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said, don't go anywhere until that happens. Because, of course, the Lord knew that the task could not be accomplished without the immediate assistance of the Holy Spirit. We have the task of bringing people to Christ all over the world. We have the task of making disciples of all nations. That is a task that we cannot perform in our own human strength, even though we're Christians. That is a task that can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, go into all the world, but before you go, wait until you receive the power. So first of all, the purpose of the baptism is empowering. Secondly, the purpose of the baptism is placing. Now, you see, the Bible presents the church in a lot of different pictures, but one of the pictures is a body. And, of course, a body is made up of many members. And each of the members of the body have a function in order for the body to perform as it is intended to perform. And the baptism with the Spirit places us in that particular position within the body that God has ordained for us so we can fulfill the function that He has for us to fulfill. So a person who has been baptized in the Spirit is a person who recognizes their place in the body. I said this previously, and I want to state it again. The biblical picture of the church does not have a spectator element to it. There is no such thing as a spectator in the Church of Jesus Christ from the biblical standpoint. Now, we're living in a day and age, and we have been for quite some time, where there's a lot of spectating going on. And to some extent, many churches are filled with people who have no idea of their place in the body. They have no sense of what their function is. They have no realization of this power. They come to church at least once a week, or maybe even more during the week, but they have no sense of placement. What is the problem? The problem is they have not been baptized with the Spirit, because the baptism with the Spirit places us in our position in the body so we can begin to function. And then along with that, also thirdly, comes gifting. You see, God gives us gifts, and He calls us to serve Him. He calls us to ministry. But the wonderful thing is He equips us with the very gifts to perform the task that He intended for us. Now, as we read over this text here in Acts 19, notice in verse 6, as Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, it says that they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. You see, something happened to them. Gifts were imparted to them at that point, and they then began to move out in the exercising of those gifts for the fulfilling of God's will and purpose. So the purpose of this baptism is to give us power, it's to place us in the body, and it's to give us the gifts in order to fulfill the place that God has for us in the body. Now, what are the results of this baptism? Well, first of all, Jesus said, the Spirit shall come upon you, you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said that the result of being baptized in the Spirit would first of all make us all witnesses. Now, this does not mean as we're baptized in the Spirit, we'll automatically be sent down to Huntington Beach Pier with a pocket full of tracts to hand those tracts out to the beachgoers and do our duty of witnessing. It's more than that. It is that our lives will become a witness. that our lives themselves will become the testimony, the proof, the reality that there is a God. You know, when people meet people who are truly baptized and filled with the Spirit, they don't need a whole lot of persuading that there is a God. It's pretty obvious by the person that's standing before them. Many times when a powerful conversion takes place in somebody's life, they, along with that conversion, are baptized in the Spirit, and people are looking on saying, this is amazing. This is a completely different person. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about here. You will be witnesses to me. But secondly, the results of the baptism of the Spirit will be involvement in serving God. And we find this consistently in the Scripture. In the Old Testament, those servants of God that we read about in the Old Testament, going all the way back to Genesis and then on through, we find that there's something quite often that is stated in regard to them and their service. And it says this. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And then it says, and they did thus and so, whoever it might have been and whatever they might have done. But it was that combination between the Spirit coming upon them and then those works of service being accomplished. And what we read in the Old Testament about the Spirit of God coming upon those men and women, that is the promise of the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the difference is it was limited to just a few people. What the promise of Joel that we just read in Acts chapter 2 was, is that this type of thing would be now experienced by all of God's people, not just a select few. So there's this empowering for service that comes upon us. You see it, as I said, in the lives of the Old Testament saints, but you also see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus did not begin his public ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you remember the occasion when he was physically baptized in water. Remember what happened? As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. That was the baptism of the Spirit taking place in the life of Jesus. And immediately after that, the public ministry of Jesus began. And he went into the synagogue in the city of Nazareth. He opened the scroll to Isaiah. He stood up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and the Lord has anointed me. You see, that was his entrance into his public ministry as the Messiah. His acts of service to God followed his baptism with the Spirit. We see the exact same thing with the apostles. Now, as I've already pointed out, the apostles, they were with Jesus. They had been taught by him. They had even been sent out on a few little missions during that 3 years that they were with him. But even though he commissioned them to go into all the world, he told them, don't go, or he said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power. And they waited in Jerusalem. They were waiting in fear. They were waiting in hiding. And yet as they were waiting, trusting, and looking for that promise, the Spirit of God came upon them. And then Peter, the one who had been frightened by a young girl to admit that he was a follower of Jesus, suddenly Peter stands up in the midst of this hostile crowd and he begins to preach the gospel, and that day 3,000 are added to the church. But you see, it was after the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And we read from Acts chapter 2, the people gathered around and said, what's going on here? Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and then he quoted it. That's what we read this morning. So there is this enabling for service. The baptism of the Spirit makes us witnesses. Our lives are the testimony, enables us for service. And then the third thing is that fruitfulness results from being baptized in the Spirit. Now, going back to Ephesus, Paul comes to Ephesus, which was a very large city. I think the population was something around 400,000 people at the time. And he finds 12 believers in that city. And seems to me that that was probably the extent of the believers that were there, 12 of them. Now, he finds them, and they're isolated. They're sort of, you know, hidden away from the public's eye. And they are seemingly powerless to affect any change in their community. But Paul, knowing himself about the baptism of the Spirit, having received it himself, knowing that this was the promise of Jesus, recognizing with these people that there's something missing, he lays hands on them and prays for them. And then it's amazing what happens. Because it's after this point that a dynamic church is established in the city of Ephesus. And we don't know the numbers of people that attended that church in Ephesus, but I would venture to say that there were thousands of people. So it's only after the empowering of these men that they begin to bear fruit for the kingdom. Now, Paul was the one who started the church. He was, largely responsible for much of its growth and development, but it wasn't a one-man operation. It wasn't only Paul's ministry. It was certainly these 12 that were baptized in the Spirit as they reached out to their families, as they reached out to their neighbors, as they reached out to their colleagues at work. And then you have this multiplication that took place. But you see, it happened after. Before, there was basically nothing going on. There were just a few believers huddled together, isolated, and having no impact whatsoever on their culture. But then after the baptism of the Spirit, a dynamic church develops, and the entire province of Asia, where Ephesus was situated, the entire province of Asia hears the gospel by the mouth of the Apostle Paul, based there in the city of Ephesus. So multitudes of people came to Christ. And as we read on in the story, they took all of their books on magic arts and the occult and all that. They took all of those, threw them in a big pile, lit them on fire. And there was this great work of the Spirit that occurred. You see, the baptism of the Spirit results in fruitfulness. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have the power of God upon our lives? Do we know the place that God has given us in his body and the function that he has called us to? Do we know what the gifts are that he has instilled within us? Are we witnesses? Are we involved in service? Are we bearing fruit? These are all questions that we must ask, because again, the New Testament knows nothing of a spectator. The church is to be this body of Christ where every member is doing its part. Every member is functioning. Every member is involved in some way, shape, or form of advancing the kingdom of God. And of course, it has something to do with being involved in ministry on the local church level. But it goes out beyond that. It goes out into the family. It goes out into the neighborhoods. It goes out into the community. It goes out into the workplace. Because God has his body sort of spread out all over the world. So we have to ask ourselves the question, though, is this my experience? And if it's not, then perhaps it's because I've not been baptized in the Spirit, or maybe I was baptized in the Spirit at one point, but through sin, through disobedience, through neglect, something's happened where maybe I've grieved the Spirit or I've quenched the Spirit. So that's a question that all of us must ask ourselves today.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Did You Receive the Holy Spirit? And the resource number is OBB465. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.